I'm Susan Yalke with VOA's Middle East Monitor podcast. Coming up, the U.S. Secretary of State is in Israel and the Palestinian territories. Obama to host leaders from Turkey, Jordan, and Gulf states. UN team reported ready to probe Syria chemical weapons claims. And tensions between Egypt's Coptic Christians and Muslims are running high.
They were chanting slogans which provoked the Muslims. They were insulting each other, and then the clashes started.
It's all ahead. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry is in Israel for talks aimed at reviving Middle East peace negotiations. Kerry is meeting with senior Israeli officials today after visiting Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas Sunday night. VOA's Scott Bobb reports from Jerusalem.
Secretary of State John Kerry attended ceremonies in Jerusalem marking the Holocaust, in which 6 million Jews were killed under Nazi Germany. Afterwards, he went into a series of separate meetings with senior Palestinian and Israeli leaders. Kerry Sunday night met with the head of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, in Ramallah. Neither side commented officially on the visit. The top U.S. diplomat is reportedly trying to hammer out a set of proposals called confidence-building measures aimed at restarting stalled Middle East peace talks. Mr. Abbas reportedly told Kerry that the Palestinians would return to the peace talks only if Israel released political prisoners and halted new construction in the West Bank and East Jerusalem. The Israeli government says it will return to the negotiating table, but without preconditions. The confidence-building proposals would include permanently resuming Israeli transfers of Palestinian tax revenues and possibly transferring some land in the West Bank currently controlled by Israeli defense forces to Palestinian authorities. Mr. Abbas reportedly has agreed to stop, for a time, unilateral moves for Palestinian recognition before multilateral organizations like the United Nations. Kerry's visit follows a week of clashes between Palestinian protesters and Israeli security forces in the West Bank after the deaths of a cancer-stricken Palestinian prisoner and two Palestinian demonstrators. Kerry's first stop in the region was Turkey, where he praised a recent warming of Turkish-Israeli relations.
Turkey and Israel are both vital allies of the United States, and we are hopeful that their agreement to restore normalization between their countries will actually help to open the door to greater cooperation.
These ties have been frozen since the killing 3 years ago of 8 Turkish and 1 Turkish-American activists by Israeli commandos aboard a ship seeking to break Israel's economic embargo of the Gaza Strip. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu apologized for the incident last month in a telephone call to Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan following the visit to Israel by U.S. President Barack Obama. Scott Bobb, VOA News, Jerusalem.
President Barack Obama plans some intense Mideast diplomacy this month and next, welcoming leaders of Turkey, Jordan, and 2 Gulf states for Oval Office talks on Syria and broader developments in the Mideast. VOA senior White House correspondent Dan Robinson has more on this story.
The White House said President Obama will welcome Turkey's Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan for talks on May 16th. The two men established a close personal and working relationship in Mr. Obama's first term, which is carried over into Mr. Obama's second as they grapple with the situation in Syria, among other issues. At the end of his Mideast trip last month, Mr. Obama brokered an easing of tensions between Israel and Turkey, bringing the Turkish leader and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu into a phone conversation to discuss differences. The White House said talks will include Syria and counterterrorism cooperation and underscore the strategic relationship between the U.S. and Turkey as NATO allies. King Abdullah of Jordan, who hosted President Obama in Amman last month, will come to the White House April 26th. In their talks in Jordan, the two leaders discussed the sharply increased refugee flows from Syria, with Mr. Obama announcing he would ask Congress for $200 million in additional aid for Jordan. The White House said the leaders will continue consultations on Syria and Jordan's political and economic reforms, which Mr. Obama praised during his visit to Amman. Mr. Obama will also meet this month with the Emir of Qatar, Hamad bin Khalifa Al Thani, and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan of the United Arab Emirates. Qatar and the United Arab Emirates, along with Saudi Arabia, are thought to be providing light weapons and other assistance to Syrian rebels fighting to oust Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. asked if the visits are part of efforts to coordinate assistance to Syrian opposition forces. White House Press Secretary Jake Carney avoided an answer, keeping to the general description provided of the purpose of the visits.
There are obviously a number of issues for these leaders and the president to discuss, including Syria, including his recent visit to Jordan, Israel, and the Palestinian territories, including the broader developments in the Arab Spring. So he looks forward to these visits, and they reflect his commitment and interest in the region and in our policies towards the region.
Dan Robinson, VOA News, the White House.
UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says a team investigating claims of chemical weapons use in Syria is ready to deploy in the country within 24 hours, but is still waiting for approval from the Syrian government. Mr. Ban told reporters today in The Hague that the team led by Swedish scientist Axel Ström is waiting in Cyprus, and the discussions continue with Syria over some technical and legal issues.
All we are waiting for is the go-ahead from the Syrian government for a thorough investigation to determine whether any chemical weapons were used in any location. Ultimately, this is about the well-being of the Syrian people who have suffered enough already. The longer we wait, the harder this essential mission will be.
He urged the Syrian government to be more flexible in the negotiations to ensure the investigators can deploy as soon as possible. Mr. Ban said delays will make it more difficult to gather samples. The Syrian government and rebels opposed to President Bashar al-Assad have traded accusations about the use of chemical weapons. Mr. Ban said today all allegations should be investigated without any preconditions. UN spokesman said last month that the aim of the mission is not to find blame, but rather to discover if chemical weapons were used. Tensions between Egypt's Coptic Christians and Muslims are running high following deadly clashes that began Friday and have left at least seven people dead and dozens injured. Correspondent Elizabeth Arrett has more from Cairo in this report for VOA Television.
Egypt's Christian and Muslim leaders are calling for calm after deadly fighting around the nation's main Coptic cathedral. President Mohamed Morsi's office condemned the violence and said the former Muslim Brotherhood leader called Coptic Pope Tawadros, pledging state protection for all citizens, Muslim and Christian. Mourners had gathered at Cairo's Abbasia Cathedral Sunday for the funerals of four Christians killed in Kusus, just outside the capital, 2 days before. A Muslim man was also killed in Friday's violence, for which each side blamed the other. The beginnings of Sunday's violence were also unclear. Christians, who make up about 10% of the population, said they came under attack by nearby residents as the funerals got underway. One Christian blamed armed Islamists in the area.
It is an act of terrorizing Christians or Coptic people. Salafists and Muslim Brotherhood supporters are carrying machine guns behind the church and near the Al-Qusus Cemetery.
But another witness, a Muslim, said both sides were to blame.
They were chanting slogans which provoked the Muslims. They were insulting each other, and then the clashes started. They started pelting each other with stones. Then the Christians started a fire and shot us with rubber bullets. Many people were injured, and then the police arrived.
Riot police fired tear gas into the Coptic Cathedral compound, furthering the anger among worshippers gathered inside. It was the worst religious violence Egypt has seen in months, heightening uncertainty in a country already reeling from political, economic, and security setbacks. Elizabeth Arrett, VOA News, Cairo.
France is planning to start withdrawing its troops from Mali later this month. This follows the intervention in January aimed at driving out Islamist militants who had taken the north of the country. Henry Ridgewell reports France is trying to reassure Mali that the pullout is not premature.
In the skies and on the ground, the French Foreign Legion patrols the remote mountains of northern Mali. The troops call this region Planet Mars. The rugged Terz Valley is being used as a hideout by Islamist militants who were driven out of Mali's northern towns and cities. The patrol captain gives only his first name, Clement. The herders have no vehicles and there have been no tourists here for a long time, he says. In all of this zone there has been only jihadists. No civilians, no women, no children, no nomads. It was really a sanctuary for jihadists. France will start withdrawing its 4,000 troops from Mali at the end of this month. Visiting Bamako Friday, French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius assured his Malian counterpart that it would not be an overnight pullout.
C'est dans cette direction-là qu'il faut aller.
Fabius says this is the direction we need to go. Where there is no independent military force, there will be different political movements with their free political ideas, and it is necessary that a path of dialogue is found. France will gradually hand over to a United Nations-backed African force of 6,300 in the next few weeks, before an expected UN peacekeeping force arrives in July. French troops will make up some of that contingent. Paul Melly is from Policy Institute, Chatham House.
Of course, there's always a risk that the jihadists may try to restage some sort of comeback, but A, you've got the Chadians still in force in northern Mali, and they're going to be continuing the battle against jihadist elements. And one suspects that actually the French will keep some units, particularly special forces.
60 kilometres north of Bamako, the European Union is building a training base to improve the capability of the Malian army, which analysts say is poorly paid and ill-equipped. As well as French trainers, there are soldiers from several European countries. Lieutenant Colonel Laurent Vieux-Fosse is the commander. He says, for the Malian forces, we want to train a battalion of men in 10 weeks. We will proceed step by step. A battalion, in this case, is 650 men. Malian Foreign Minister Tiemene Koulibaly says there is a long rebuilding process ahead for his country's army. We need many things, he says. We need personal arms, we need flak jackets, for example, and helmets. But above all, we need to build a republican spirit. The reconciliation process will be difficult, but not impossible, says Paul Melly of Chatham House.
Northern Mali had many problems, but it's a socially complex area. It's not dominated by any one ethnic group. And the jihadists never had the support of more than a very small slice of the population.
Melly says Mali is trying to rebuild the nation as quickly as possible. The president has announced elections for July, despite fears that such a short time frame will prove impractical. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
This has been VOA's Middle East Monitor podcast. Join us Monday through Friday for news from the region and of interest to the region. And for more Mideast coverage, visit our website at MiddleEastVoices.com. I'm Susan Yawkey in Washington. Thanks for joining us.